CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Benjamin Disraeli said, "The secret of success is constancy to purpose." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who are successful by focusing on purpose. Our first playmaker has over 100,000 students and 7,000 employees, while our next playmaker took over his grandfather's bank in 1983. With us today is a chancellor of one of the largest community colleges in Texas, while our next CEO grew his bank from one location in East Texas to six locations in Texas and assets of over $400 million. His great playmakers are Dr. Joe May. Joe is chancellor of the Dallas County Community College District. And Mike Barnett. Mike is CEO of Benchmark Bank. And we're going to begin today's show with Mike. Mike Barnett has been CEO of Benchmark Bank for over 25 years and was first elected to the board of Benchmark Bank in 1978. Established in 1964 in a small East Texas town, Quinlan State Bank was a longtime dream of retired oil man Bruce Clardy, who served as chairman of the board until Mike took over from his grandfather in 1983. In 1987, Mike bought a failed bank in the Dallas area and renamed the institution Benchmark Bank. In 2002, he sold all the branches and consolidated everything into the new location of the shops at Legacy in Plano. Now with six locations, Benchmark Bank is in Plano, Uptown, the Park Cities, the Woodlands, and two locations in Austin. And the bank's assets top $400 million. Well, Mike, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, thank you for having me.
You are in the business because of your grandfather, but what was your impetus in getting into the banking business?
Well, really, when I got out of graduate school in Austin, I interviewed for different jobs, really all over the country, in New York and other places. I was married and had a dog, and had no interest in going to New York, so the best offer I got was from First City National Bank in Houston. So that started my banking career.
Was that because your grandfather was in banking that you looked at banking, or was that the only job?
No, that wasn't the only job, but it was a job that interested me because I thought you'd get a background in lots of different areas of finance.
Well, let's talk about the history of the bank, because I think that's fascinating. Back in 1964, Quinlan, Texas, your grandfather had a dream.
He had a dream. He put together a bunch of people in the town, and they had a town hall meeting, and he said, every town that's ever been successful has a bank, and we need one. So
there was no bank in Quinlan prior to that?
No, there had been one, you know, several back in the Depression days when the rules were a lot different. They all failed, of course, in the late 20s. So he put together a consortium. They went to Austin. It's kind of a funny story, and the vote was 2-1 to allow him to have it. One of the people that voted for him was his former roommate at Texas. So
why would somebody vote against having a
– Well, they didn't really have a business plan, and they had nobody knew anything about banking, which was kind of two strikes against you. But it was in the 60s, and they went ahead and granted him the bank.
So apparently it was successful. That was back in 1964. You got involved in late 70s?
That's correct.
And how involved were you prior to basically taking over – as CEO?
You know, I came each month for the board meeting. I'd fly from Houston. I was living in Houston at the time, and fly to Dallas and drive the hour out to Quinlan. And we had board meetings at night to accommodate my schedule, and I'd take a 10 o'clock plane back to Houston and did that for 4 or 5 years. I was in Quinlan frequently to visit my grandparents, and so I was around the bank a lot. And then in 1983, when he passed away, I took over as chairman, and then in 86, I guess I bought pretty much everybody else out of the bank.
So you must have had a good background being in the banking industry prior to taking over the Quinlan Bank.
Well, there were a lot of differences. You know, the bank in Houston was a big commercial bank, the biggest bank in Houston at the time, and it was I was making loans that were bigger than our bank was in Quinlan. So it was two different kind of banks, that's for sure.
Well, apparently you had a vision because you sold some of the banks. Matter of fact, you went backwards in terms of total assets. Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
And then built up. So talk about how you changed from a small rural bank into a larger Texas bank.
You know, I think the genesis of all that was and always is just your personal needs. And we had actually had some financing needs that I needed to raise some cash for some other businesses I've been involved in. So The bank had, we'd really reached about our potential out in Hunt County and decided maybe it was time to move to the Metroplex. We had one location in Plano and decided to develop that further. And as it turned out, we've been real lucky. It's been a real good decision for us.
Is there still a Quinlan State Bank?
No, there's not. The bank's a branch of American National and Terrell.
But they still have a bank there.
Yes.
At least they have some place to put their money. Well, you have developed a specific culture at Benchmark Bank. Matter of fact, I understand that you have consistently been named a best place to work, both in the Dallas Business Journal three times for mid-size company, and also American Banker Magazine, best bank to work for in the country, some of the best banks to work for in the country. How did that happen? And I'm going to preface this by saying this is not something that you, the award that you get, your employees have to have this happen. So what have you done to cause this to be a best place to work?
You know, I think we all are products of our experiences. And when I went to work in Houston at the bank down there, there were some policies and procedures that seemed trivial to me and a waste, quite frankly, of our time and effort. So you incorporate what you think is best for your people. One of the things I thought was the silliest is if you have kids, you need to experience what's going on in your kid's life as long as you get your work done. And I believe you can get your work done. If you have to do it at 10 o'clock at night, that's fine with me. If you got to see your kids score a goal or swim in a track meet or be in a play, whatever it may be, you need to go do that. And, you know, you can work later. And results are easy to find. You know, it's not how much time you're there. It's really what you get done.
Absolutely. It's an interesting philosophy, and that's what's caused your people to vote you as a best place to work. Let's talk about your locations, because your original location is now in Plano.
Correct.
You add a few more. Talk about the other locations you have.
You know, we were in Plano. We felt like there was a need in the Park Cities. I grew up there and have lived there for a long time and thought it made sense to really, we're a relationship business, and it made sense to expand on those relationships. And we opened that location, gosh, I guess it's been 12 years ago or so, and it's been very successful. And then really the rest of the locations have been driven by our talent.
By the way, Park City is a Snugger Plaza, is that correct?
That's correct, Hillcrest and Lover's Lane. And really the rest of it's been driven by our talent. We have a bunch of really great people who were younger, and they needed to grow. And so we were able to go to Austin. Rusty Edgar, who runs our Austin operation, a fine young man who really he'd gotten to his limits at where he could do at Benchmark Bank. There were some old guys in his way. So we created an opportunity for him down in Austin, and he's just thrived down in that market.
Well, I'm reading into what you said. Apparently, with all the good people, you're going to have to continue buying banks to put some of these people into them for and to run them for you.
We don't really buy them. We open them. We start them from scratch. And we opened one in Uptown, and Trey Adams has done a great job there. And then Jason Bean is running our Woodlands operation, doing a super job there. Larry Poole really runs our Plano operation. We're just lucky to have a great group of people.
By the way, we are speaking with Mike Barnett. Mike is the CEO of Benchmark Bank, and their website is benchmarkbank.com. But on our website, there's about four other websites, too, that you can take a look at. What are the other companies? You diversify. What are the other companies now that you have through Benchmark Bank?
You know, we try to be a full-service business, and in that, we're in the title business. I'm proud to say my son-in-law, Jonathan Filgo, is president of the title business, has done an unbelievable job. We've got really, I think, the best group of pros in the business there. We brought a group over about 4 years ago. They've done just an absolutely marvelous job, just added a new fellow last month, and just really excited about the future of the title business. It's done even better than we projected. Real proud, and that's all because of the people we have.
It's usually about people. That's bmktitle.com?
That's correct.
And you have Affiliated Mortgage.
Affiliated Mortgage. We've been in the mortgage business for as long as I can remember. It's harder to be in today than it used to be, and I'll just leave it at that from a regulatory standpoint. But the mortgage business has been really good for us over the years. We've got a great staff of mortgage people and literally built our Austin and Woodlands branches around our mortgage group that was already in place before we opened the bank branches.
And your newest is Benchmark Auto, which has to be a little bit different than your other divisions?
It is. We're in the leasing business, so if you ever need to lease a car, let us know. We'll work with you and try and take care of it. It's a very interesting business. We're still in its infancy and still working through the very first year of it. So,
well, we were talking before the show started about the banking industry going back to the mid-'80s. A lot has changed in the banking industry. You've been in the banking industry for a while. Do you have any mentors, anybody that has helped to shape you into the banker you are today?
You know, there was a guy named Howard Shelton who I met through my father-in-law on a hunting trip. And Howard used to be the president of First National Bank of Fort Worth. They got acquired by InterFirst, or one of those. And when those happened, he was kind of let go. And I really didn't know how to run a bank, and not sure I still do today. But so I really relied on...
It's a work in progress, by the way.
It always is. And so I relied on Howard a lot, and we asked him to be on our board of directors. And he was a great link for me with the regulatory people. I can be a little volatile at times, and he's just a calm hand. He'd seen everything, that things I hadn't seen. And, you know, when you're young, you don't understand that experience really does matter, and as you get older, you really enjoy the experiences. But when you're younger, you think you know everything. And Howard taught me that there's a lot of things he knew that I certainly didn't, and so he was really my mentor in the banking business.
This is a Playmakers Talk Show. I'm always looking for executives that are playmakers. Can you think of anything in the 30 plus years you've been in the banking industry that was a playmaking move for you that helped shape the direction you've gone into with Benchmark Bank?
Yeah, you know, I think that when we purchased the two failed banks in the 80s, that really set us up for success in the future. Those were probably monumental decisions. In making the decision to leave East Texas and shrink the bank back, and having enough faith in our people, David Crockett in particular, our former vice chairman, who passed away 4 years ago, was really a visionary in the business. And he really helped formulate our plan to bring it to Dallas, and you know, things have worked out very well for us, and we're proud to say now we're $500 million, not $400 million. We just cracked that in end of September. So,
congratulations! You've mentioned this a number of times, but I want you to reiterate it again. Should we have listeners, anybody focusing on this? Why should they do business with your company, with Benchmark Bank?
That's a great question. You know, if you really want a relationship where we care, that's what we do. We may not always tell you yes, which a lot of people want to hear, but we'll tell you why we don't like something. And we're not ticket takers at our bank. We really think we're part of your decision-making process. One of the reasons we added the private wealth side of our business was to help take care of people long range, help manage their assets. And, you know, Wayne McCullough is doing a great job with that business. And, you know, it's really, really fun to watch taking and helping somebody with their business and watching them grow financially. And that's been the most fun part for me. Most of my buddies that we originally loaned money to don't borrow money anymore, and I'm thankful for that. They've done well, and now it's fun to watch a younger group come up and put their business plans together and see how they're going to do.
So if you said relationships, it's all about the people.
It's all about the people, right.
Well, Turbidy, one more time, how they can find out more about Benchmark Bank.
You know, our website's there, and certainly we'd love for you to come by and visit any of our locations. That'd be the best thing. And we're there all the time, and, you know, we love customers, and we understand that we make our living off our customers.
And that's benchmarkbank.com. Well, Mike, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Mike Barnett is the CEO of Benchmark Bank. Don't go away. We're going to come back and talk, I guess, college. We're going to talk to the chancellor of the Dallas County Community College District. His name is Dr. Joe May. Back with Joe right after this.
Did you know there are more than 6,000 children in foster care in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? And more than 30,000 children in foster care in the state of Texas? These children need to know the love of a family. At Buckner, we find families for children rather than children for families. Our experienced staff is dedicated to walk alongside you every step of the way on your adoption journey. Every child needs and deserves to know the love of a family. November is National Adoption Month. Learn how you can be a family for a child who needs one at beafamily.org or by calling 1-855-264-8783. Be a family with Buckner.
There's no question that North Texas is growing. More people are moving here. Employment's up. The housing market's booming. Now, here's something you may not know. 800,000 people in our community struggle with hunger, and one in four children is at risk of going hungry. This holiday season, the North Texas Food Bank needs your help. With every dollar you donate, they provide three nutritious meals to hungry people. Help support the North Texas Food Bank. Go to ntfb.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk to Dr. Joe May, selected as the seventh chancellor of the Dallas County Community College District. Dr. Joe May assumed his duties at DCCCD in late February 2014. DCCCD is one of the largest community college systems in the state of Texas, with seven colleges that have served more than 3 million people since the system was founded 50 years ago in 1965. Throughout his career, Dr. May has expanded opportunities for students who want to pursue a bachelor's degree by starting at a community college. At the same time, he brings a strong commitment to improve the Dallas economy by helping to grow middle-class jobs. We're going to talk about that. Joe, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, great to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I'm glad you are here. In doing a little bit of background, you were the first member of your family to go to college.
Oh, that's...
And you began your higher education career teaching psychology at Cedar Valley College. How did all that, I know there's a lot in between, but how did all that prepare you to become chancellor of the Dallas County Community College District?
You know, I was very fortunate. I had a mother that was determined that I was going to get a college degree and be the first in my family to do so. And, you know, you didn't argue with mom very, very often. So I was one of those individuals that had the chance to go straight through college, earn a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a doctorate. And I really knew nothing about community colleges. This was just a brand new phenomenon that was occurring, and different from higher education. I had a call one day when I was at what was then East Texas State University, working there. They said they're opening up a brand new college in South Dallas County, Cedar Valley College, and they needed someone with my background, which was counseling and had some background in psychology and human development. And would I come and work in the counseling center for a few months and also teach some classes? And I have to tell you, it absolutely changed my outlook and career. You know, I was in my early 20s, barely a kid, and I walked into a classroom in the evening that was full of adults. In fact, I was probably the youngest in the room by 10 years. And on one hand, scared to death, but on the other hand, as I got to know these individuals, their lives, their aspirations, their jobs, how they viewed the future and what they wanted out of life, they won me over. I said, you know, this is how you can really make a difference in life. And I was determined to make a difference. And from that point on was certainly for a little bit into four-year colleges and universities, but got back to community colleges as quickly as I could.
So that really was the impetus. Well, we were talking prior to the show starting about the difference in 50. Matter of fact, I'm going to go back. On your website, which is dccd.edu, and get those three C's in between the two D's, you have your 50th anniversary speech, which is,
right.
As I was listening, kind of the State of the Union for the college district. So it's been 50 years, and it's changed a lot.
It really has.
Community colleges are a lot different than they were 50 years ago. Talk about that and what you now offer to the public.
You know, when the Dallas County Community College District was created, it was a group of local leaders that got together and said, you know, we don't have a university and a public university in Dallas County. It's difficult to have access to higher education, so they wanted to create something that was really unique. Not only provided an opportunity for people to start at a two-year college and then transfer to a four-year institution, but also to be able to prepare in technical areas such as automotive or construction or manufacturing and health care, nursing, and other fields, and included continuing education. And so the idea at that time was to be inclusive in whom we invited into our doors, that there weren't admission requirements, generally speaking, for the institution. We wanted to be the widest door in the community at a time when higher education was generally limited to people. You know, I often think back on my freshman orientation where I'm sitting in a room – and a man walks up to the front of the stage and says, look to your right, look to your left, two out of three of you will not be back next year. And that was said with a sense of pride. And in the meantime, this buzz is happening in Dallas about a college that says everyone's welcome, come in the doors. Everyone has opportunity to succeed, and we're going to provide programs and opportunities so that no matter what your interests, you have the chance to be successful in life.
You have a lot of different types of students. You have some going for 2 years getting their associate's degree. You have some, as you mentioned, like your daughter, that will get a degree, come back to your colleges. Some are transition. As I mentioned, my son saved his college career by going to Richland College. Talk about the different types of students you have and what type of programs you offer them.
Well, you know, the ultimate goal is the same for everyone. We want people to be equipped to be able to have a great career in life, support their family, be a part of the community, be successful in helping improve the quality of life for all. So that for that reason, we work very closely with high schools as students transition out. That's always been a role, but today we actually operate 7 high schools within the district, and we'll be adding more on an ongoing basis. We have 1 charter school, 3 early college high schools where we partner with others. So that transition, we have people coming out of the military. We have, as you mentioned, individuals who may have earned a bachelor's degree but really don't have the skills sometimes to get that great-paying job that's available here in Dallas County or anywhere in the state of Texas. So we see them coming through our door. You know, today the job in the market is changing so rapidly that by time most people are 38 years old, they're going to have between 10 and 14 different jobs, every single one of them requiring some education or skill, whether it be in banking we talked about earlier or real estate or others. The most require licensure today, education beyond high school, and we work with over 350 different types of programs to meet those needs.
Let's continue with that, because I think you are focused on building partnerships with business, and you mentioned education communities. How are you tying it in with business?
You know, the traditional role of higher education, of course, is to create great programs and then students go out and go to work. Well, what we discovered over time is that industries and businesses and employers, they're changing so rapidly. If we're not just more than partnership, but really perfectly aligned with the needs of their industry, and we're keeping up with that industry, that we get behind, and then guess what? Students can't get those great jobs, and employers are unhappy with the quality that we find. So we put together teams and approaches that now that bring together companies, whether it be hospitals as employers, groups. We just work with the auto collision companies here in the community, and to make certain that what we're offering, providing, exactly meets the needs of a changing industry.
It's amazing how you're tying all that together. You are also president of something called Rebuilding America's Middle Class.
That's right.
What is that?
You know, we realize that federal policy matters a great deal to community members that we serve and to employers. We had just gone through a period of time where we watched the federal government take away a very important program to students. That was what we call Summer Pell or Year-Round Pell Grants, which provides dollars so that students who are eligible receive money to pay for their education. It historically has been only available in the fall and spring semesters, but for a period of time, the federal government made that available in the summer, and guess what? It allowed more people to go to school, finish faster. It saved them money, because if they attended in the summer, they were having to come up with their money from different sources or borrow money to do it. And it was really working, particularly in technical areas like nursing and healthcare, where we have real shortage of people. Well, they eliminated that provision, and a group of us of community college leaders across the country said, you know, we got to have to do something about it, because that's key to building the middle class in America. If we can't get people into programs like nursing and healthcare and construction, all the great jobs that are available in our community today, paying middle class wages, $40,000 and above, we're not going to have a strong middle class. So we came together, formed Rebuilding America's Middle Class, and now work with Congress, work with the White House and others to make certain that policies align with the needs of individuals trying to build the middle class in America.
Well, does that tie in with something else you're involved with, is it, if I'm pronouncing correctly, Combase?
Combase is, that's right. I happen to be president this year of Combase, which stands for community-based education, is the premise, realizing that community colleges are unique, that we really focus on solving local community problems. We believe that community success equals college success. So as we look at our programs and services, we're not just offering random services or programs, they really are designed to solve the problems of individuals, employers, and the community that we serve in our local area. And here, of course, that's Dallas County.
Well, I don't know if your title is chancellor, but it sounds like your title might be top salesperson for the DCCCD, because that's what you go out and promote continually.
Well, you know, I believe in what we do. I believe that today that the fastest pathway to the middle class is coming through the doors of higher education. What we want to see is everyone have that opportunity. You know, when I graduated from high school, about 75% of middle-class jobs could be achieved with no more than a high school diploma. Today, that's dropped to 38%, and it's growing smaller and smaller literally every day, which means that it's higher education is not just for some people today. It has to be for everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're looking to go into a construction a trade, perhaps, or in the automotive industry, banking, everyone requires some education beyond high school, and we want that message out so that people will look to us to come and have those needs met.
Well, you've also you've involved in raising some money, working with Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase. That specific project OnRamp, how is that tied in with the colleges?
You know, that Project OnRamp is a great story in how higher education is transitioning. We have a program that where we train people to be certified nursing assistants. Essentially, it's not a high wage job, but it is an entry into the healthcare industry. And by taking just a few more courses, they can raise those skills, get a 20% increase in salary in a very short period of time. They take a few more courses, they can get a 40% increase in their salary and be on track to have a career in the healthcare business. Today, our nurses are making about $50,000 a year starting out of our programs throughout the region, and we want more people, even if they made mistakes early in life, even if they failed to graduate from high school, we want them to know that there's an opportunity, whether it be through our credit programs or not through not-for-credit programs, to meet those needs.
A lot going on at DCCCD, so tell everybody how they can find out more about your colleges.
You know, the best way to get information on your areas of interest is go to our website. Stop by one of our colleges. We have 7 colleges located throughout Dallas County.
12, convenient for everybody.
Convenient. 12 campuses. In most of them have a light rail and dart stops located at our location, so that we're convenient to everyone.
DCCCD.edu. Joe, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Oh, Steve, thanks for having me.
Dr. Joe May is the chancellor of the Dallas County Community College District. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, thanks to Mike Barnett, CEO of Benchmark Bank. And again, Dr. Joe May, the chancellor of Dallas County Community College District. This has been a great show. You can get all of our replays and past episodes at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.